You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Wednesday, October 10th, 2018. I want to thank everyone for joining me this morning. I'm going to be taking an in-depth look at the coup. Once again, the most important story of our lifetime, the coup against the America. Well, it's against Donald Trump. It's by the Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton criminal cabal, and others, the deep state as we know it. But it's more than against the President of the United States. I sent a Twitter message. I don't know when this was. I believe it was on my personal Twitter feed, at HagmannPI. I sent this out. It was a graphic that said, they're really not coming after me. They're coming after you. I'm just in the way. And that had that was text overlaid on a graphic of President Donald Trump. And that's what it's all about. They are coming after all of us. When I say they, I'm talking about the deep state. And I'm talking about the people who are attempting to change our constitutional republic into a socialist or communist utopia. Do not, please do not underestimate the attempts, the way that they are going about doing this. The motive, means, and opportunities of all of these people, members of the deep state, the way they are using, and this is especially important, the way they're using either witting or unwitting individuals through blog entries, through writings on columns on blogs, to take out or an attempt to take down, disparage, malign people like us or the individuals who really want the truth to come out or are trying to expose the coup. They're using lawfare. They're using the justice system, perverting that in an attempt to divert one's attention, people's attention, away from investigation and cause one to engage in or be distracted. So you've got to fight for your reputation, for your business, for your personal life, whatever it might be. They're using deception at so many levels. In fact, I've got an example of the deception they're using. As we are 27 days away from the midterms right now, today, there was a column in the Washington Free Beacon about liberal activists. Let me change that to communists. Communists from New York City were bussed up to New York's 19th congressional district this past weekend to volunteer for Democratic nominee Antonio Delgado's campaign. Now, this is nothing new. We know this is happening. It's been happening for a long time. But now, as I said on the flagship show, and I'm saying on this show, the tactics, the methods, they're much more refined. Well, some enterprising person aboard that bus, filled with these communist socialists, had recorded the words of the group leader. It's only 59 seconds. Under a minute. It's posted on YouTube, Washington Free Beacon. This audio is of a woman by the name of Kate Linker, the president of the Greater New York City for Change, or Greater NYC for Change, telling a group of volunteers on a bus sponsored by Representative Jerry Nadler out of New York that Delgado campaign is concerned about the optics of having people bust into the rallies. So remember, I've spoken about, and you all know, because you guys are really on top of things. And again, I believe that whether it's the Hagmann Report or this show, we've got the most intelligent and astute audience on the planet. But you all know that this is a common occurrence. This is happening. But to reinforce that for the general public, for them to understand, or to get people to understand, this is happening, that the popularity of socialism or communism is not organic to the various geographical areas. You've got hotbeds of communism and socialism, like New York City. Just pick any big city. But when you get out into the rural areas, the optics, you've got to change the optics. So it makes it appear that you've got a wide swath of support for communism. Because regardless of what anyone else says, and I will be accused of being of hyperbole, whether it's in a legal form or whether it's just on a blog post or whether it's just via email, I'll be accused of hyperbole and lying and fear porn. But y'all know better than that. This is happening where the people, the deep state, members of the deep state, want to change the facts or want to manage the optics to make it appear that there's widespread support for communism. When in fact, you go to any rural area, get out of the cities, there is not that. There's no support for that because Americans know better. It's the members of the deep state that are pushing this. But listen to this. Again, it's under a minute. This is the only audio clip I'm going to play. It's under a minute. Listen to the words of Kate Linker, the president of this, in my words, now in my view, in my professional and personal opinion, is a communist group, Greater NYC, Greater New York City for Change. These are her words as the bus is going toward the 19th District of New York. Here they are. Here are the words. Take a listen.
The likelihood is that we will be out all day and then be coming back later on. One thing that I wanted to say that is important, if you post on social media, please do not mention that you are from New York City. The reason is, much though they love us, the FASO campaign on September 15th posted that the Delgado campaign was sending, busing in busloads of New York City Democratic Socialists, bringing outsiders in to try to sway the campaign. And the campaign is understandably concerned about this, despite the fact that they know that the reason we're doing this is precisely because we care about New York and we care about our neighbors up there. But please, if you post on social media, do not mention that you are from New York City, just to try to limit that.
Okay, folks, you heard what she said. Now, imagine being on that bus. There's a whole lot of stupid, in my opinion, on that bus. Because you've got this woman saying, well, one thing I wanted to say that's important, if you post on social media, please don't mention that you're from New York City. The reason is, much though that they love us, the FASO campaign posted back on September 15th that the Delgado campaign was busing in busloads of New York City Democratic Socialists, bringing outsiders in to try to sway the campaign. And the Delgado campaign is understandably concerned about this. Okay, what are you doing? You are busing in Democratic Socialists from New York City. And she's, again, a whole lot of stupid. So she's telling the people on the bus, yeah, really don't say it because it looks bad, because it makes it seem like we're busing people in from elsewhere. Well, you're on a bus. You're traveling to the 19th District from New York City. What are you doing? You're doing exactly what they're accusing you of doing. Don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Again, if you're on that bus, you're hearing the words. Are you? I mean, is it just abject stupidity? Do these people really believe this? Of course they do. I would say this: they're not stupid. Well, maybe they are, but it's that perverted ideology of this communist utopia as a consequence of years and years of indoctrination. That clip alone, that audio segment alone, should be a beacon, a flashing red light, saying, you know what, these people. I don't even know what to say, because if you don't see the sad irony here, or if people don't get this, that hey, don't say where they're busing in. It looks bad, but we're busing you in. But don't really say that. And we're being accused of busing in people, or they're being accused of busing in people. And really, it's not happening. And you're on a bus. Man. But see, here's the bigger picture now. We find ourselves in the week post-Kavanaugh confirmation or swearing-in. That whole ugly process is behind us. But like any wound, it's going to leave a scar, and a deep scar in this country. And who drew the blood? Who had the blade? It's the deep state. One may look at Christine Blasey Ford and say, well, she was a victim and she was speaking out and she should be believed and on and on and on. Maybe she was a victim. I don't know. But the way that she was handled, and I use that word specifically handled, should tell everyone or should show everyone the bigger picture here. That, as I said yesterday, and maybe I didn't make this clear enough yesterday, the very same people who are orchestrating the Blasey Ford's testimony of the world, the very same people who are behind the personal politics of destruction, the very same people who are attempting to create the communist utopia, the members of the deep state are using the masses who have been long indoctrinated into believing a communist utopia is good for this country. It's the very same people using the very same tactics. I mentioned yesterday about the plumbers from the Nixon era. What did the plumbers do? They're plugging leaks. The story of Watergate's a long, convoluted, big story that's really has been misrepresented in the media, but I don't want to go down that rabbit trail right now. I'm just saying that when you go back to the early 70s, you go back to the late 60s, and we had Dr. Herbert London on last night on the flagship show. And now, this guy's been around. He's very intelligent. And oftentimes we bring people on, just to be clear now, we bring people on, we might not agree with all of their platforms or all of their thinking. So if we bring someone on, let me give you an example. If we bring someone on our flagship show, and I really think that this needs to be stated. If we bring someone on as a guest on our flagship show to talk about, chocolate chip cookie recipe, but they happen to be an atheist. Okay, now this is the most severe example. We bring them on because they've got this famous, unbelievable, you can't beat it, everyone wants it. It's a fantastic chocolate chip recipe, chocolate chip cookie recipe. So we bring them on to talk about that and that alone. We don't address the fact that they're an atheist, we'll say, because it's not relevant to what we're talking about. For example, another real life example with respect to this. The Walk Away movement in New York City, which we will be attending October 26th, 27th, 28th. The Walk Away March. Brandon Straka is the organizer or the de facto or the head visible organizer of this Walk Away March. And Tracy Beans, I would add that she's doing a lot of work and she's going to be there. She's doing a lot of the grunt work, and Brandon Straka is making the media appearances, basically. And that's just the way it works. I mean, it's not to disparage anyone. But Brandon Straka has his sexual preferences are antithetical to what the Hagman Report believes. But he was on our show, on our flagship show. And some will disagree with his, obviously, his sexual preferences, but we didn't bring him on to talk about that. We brought him on to talk about the Walk Away March and the impact that that's having on red pilling many in America. So just understand in the larger sense, I'm not even sure how I got down this rabbit trail, except to say when we bring people on to talk about a certain issue, that does not mean that we endorse or agree with other aspects of what they're doing. It means they've got valuable and relevant information about a specific topic, and that's what we're interested in. Now, the only exception to that would be is if, let's say, person A lies about a series of events, and we bring that person on to talk about a related series of events. You cannot believe necessarily what that person is saying because he lied in the past or she's lied in the past. So that would be the exception. But I'm just trying to give you an idea of where we're going largely in the larger sense, the Hagman Report and the Doug Hagman Radio Show. It's much, again, one more example and then I'm going to move on. When you are looking to gain information, you interview someone about a specific crime, we'll say, or a specific event, unless the peripheral information or the ancillary information is a driving ideological factor or a motivating factor, then it doesn't matter, for example, if they're what their affiliations might be. That's not to say you don't look at it in the aggregate. I'm just saying that you just your laser like focus on the issue at hand. So I'm not even sure how I got off on that, except to say the deep state right now, they are in a panic. They are being exposed for what they are. But the bigger story here, whether it's Kavanaugh, whether it's the Spygate scandal crime, whether it's Hillary Clinton, who's still around, or Barack Hussein Obama, what is the common factor here? Obviously, they're all members of the deep state, or they all comprise what we call the deep state. But the bigger factor here is the motivation of all of these individuals is a strong ideological drive to establish a communist utopia, to usurp the Constitutional Republic, and to establish a communist utopia here in the United States. You bring down the United States, just like that graphic of President Trump saying, with the overlaid text saying, you know, it looks like they're after me, but they're really after you. I'm just in the way. That's the same way. What's the biggest goal here of the deep state or the international deep state? It is to create a single form centralized government, a centralization of government, where that central government can control everybody. This is why the push is on for lack of borders. For example, you show me someone in the upper echelons of government who is anti-border, I will show you a member of the deep state. Because their ultimate goal, it's really not about the borders. Well, it is, but it's bigger than the borders. It's about the centralized government, the establishment of a centralized government. That's what it's really about. The borders is one aspect of that. The same with, for example, the same with abortion or infanticide. You've got people who are ideologically in favor of infanticide. And I know that's difficult to wrap your brain around because it's difficult for me. I mean, who would want, what sane, rational human being can justify the murder of an unborn child? That I can't, it's difficult for me to comprehend. But that said, you go back into history, at least modern history, the Margaret Sanger, who is the founding member of Planned Parenthood. I didn't plan on talking about this, but I'm being led here, I guess, spirit-wise to talk about this, the founder of Planned Parenthood. What was her goal? Has anyone really got into her ideology? Well, of course, her goal was to create the perfect perfect race and to get rid of blacks, for example, to abort blacks away. The inferior race. Hey, those are her words, not mine. So don't go throwing anything at me. But it's all about the larger, the creation of this global society under a one centralized government. That's the bigger picture. which is why, and I'm going to bring this back, which is why Spygate is so critically important to understand, because it is international in scope, which is why as well the media, their coverage of this, their reaction to this, and their complicity in this is important, because they are completely sold out. The corporate mass media is completely sold out to bringing in this communist utopia. I don't care whether it's Joe Scarborough, and Mika, my father was, Mika Brzezinski. It's, and you talk about the poster children or the poster people of the deep state. There are two right there, Scarborough and Brzezinski. But these people, as part of the media, complicit in not just covering of the crimes, but advancing that driving ideology. Now, I know I haven't told you anything yet you haven't already known, but oftentimes it pays to kind of put the brakes on, tap the brakes a little bit, and to look at the whole picture. Now, what have we seen here of late? The reason I played that audio clip initially was to show you, number one, how important the midterms are, because as it was said last night by Dr. London, and it bears repeating, and you know this, we need to win the midterm elections. Now, there are people out there who will say, well, look, it's really a spiritual battle, and that it is. And we need to pray hard. Yes, we do. But we also have to take that spiritual battle. We have to be soldiers in that spiritual battle, and we have to show up on the playing field here on Earth. We were born here for a reason. We can, each one of us, you and I, we have our jobs to do, I believe, assigned to by God. And we have emails from God, and I'm using, oh my goodness, and just see right-wing watch, Doug talks to God. No, I'm using this as an example. You know, we have our own mail to read. We have to read our own mail. We have our own jobs. We have our own positions in this spiritual battle. But this is not only a spiritual battle. It's not mutually exclusive. It's not one or the other. No, it's a spiritual battle to which we were appointed, divinely appointed to fight here in the physical. So yes, that's why I talk about, look, I'll leave the preaching to the ministers, to the pastors, to the people who I'm not that. I'm an investigator. I'm looking at the terra firma, the real world here. So, but again, I would caution everyone. I'm not discounting or even putting aside the spiritual aspect of this. That's equally, if not, well, that's more important. But so is our showing up here in the physical. We can do both. And as we fight this battle, we can know instinctively and in our heart and in our soul that we are doing this for a higher purpose. And don't ever lose sight of that. Now, I don't hear many talk show hosts, whether it's Mark Levin or Savage or Hannity, God bless them, but I don't hear them talking about the spiritual component of that. I like to think this program and our flagship show is that conduit between the larger spiritual purpose, as well as the here on earth, we've got to do it here purpose. Okay, again, they're not mutually exclusive. We can do both at the same time, but know, in fact, that this is a battle, spiritual. The Patreon meeting that we had last Sunday really drove home that aspect, and I want to thank everyone who supports this broadcast. Thank you so very much. Folks, we can't do this without you, and I'm going to tell you right now, I can't do this program. We can't do our flagship show. We cannot do anything without your support. And so I thank you in advance for your support. If you are a Patreon member, thank you for being a Patreon member. If you've sent contributions to us, thank you for doing so. You will never know how much, what a difference that makes. And I'll tell you this, there's not a penny wasted. It's all put to personnel, equipment, things for the studio in terms of better sound quality, better, well, even today. and this is a good time to tell you this. Tonight on the Hagman Report, we're going to put something together for tonight because we are going to be covering President Trump's visit to our hometown, Erie, Pennsylvania. And we're going to be there, and we're going to be covering that event. We're going to be attempting to get interviews with people there. There's going to be a lot of people. Now, I don't know to what extent we can come back with a workable work product or a product that we can say, okay, this is, you know, we're able to get this feed and listen to this or watch this, but we're going to try to do that. But in the event we are unable to because of restrictions, believe me, there are a lot of restrictions. You've got to jump through a lot of hoops. But in the event we can't, we're going to bring you the information. So, and President Trump, just to be clear, is in Erie, Pennsylvania, because Erie County is a pivot county, as it's told, or as it's been described, in the senatorial race between Casey and Barletta. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you are in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, whatever it's Commonwealth really, but if you are in Pennsylvania, I would urge, if you are a Christian conservative, your vote goes to Barletta for the Senate. Please do that, because we need it. Look, I mentioned about Casey yesterday. Most people have no idea. But why vote? Because we're fighting against this communist utopia. Do votes matter? Yes, except when they don't. Well, what do you mean? Of course, black box voting. You've got voter fraud. But we are fighting this uphill battle, which just means, frankly, that everyone has got to vote. Everyone's got to show up. That's how important this is. So, anyway, all right, so a couple of things happened over the last several days that have been overshadowed. Now, Hannity talked about this. Tracy Beans has got a great video about this. And John Solomon has been writing articles. Sarah Carter has been writing articles. And when you look at the entirety of the articles, when you look at each one individually and then put them all together, it tells a story. And the story, of course, is the story of the day, or at least the chapter of the bigger novel, or not a novel, but a chapter of this big of the investigation into the deep state attack against Donald Trump. The latest chapter written is that Rod Rosenstein, or Stein, whatever his name is, he was dead serious about attempting to obtain covert surreptitious recordings, audio recordings of President Trump, and then try to take that and use that as leverage with cabinet officials to invoke the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office. I've taken a lot of notes here. I've gone through a lot of research material, probably 3-4 hours worth of research material, about 3 hours today after I got in the studio. And it goes like this. Rod Rosenstein made a comment about wearing a wire when he was talking to President Trump. And then when called upon to explain that, he said, "Oh, I was just joking around. Come on, guys. Just, you know, barroom talk. Hey." Well, James Baker, who was the number two lawyer at the FBI, said, "Oh, no, no, no. Rod was dead serious." So the allegation, there was an effort to record President Trump somehow, to create the picture that he was somehow mentally unfit to govern, to serve as president. And that recording or series of recordings, however it played out, was to be taken to cabinet officials to invoke the 25th Amendment. That's the story of the day. Now, that intertwines, that overlaps, that there's a lot of webs that stem from that. And a lot of people, the names, a lot of things stem from that. And I'm going to attempt to explain this as quickly and as succinctly as I can. But before I do, I want to toss out some... I'm just going to throw out some events that kind of tie into this. Hillary Clinton's emails, whether it's about Benghazi or emails in general, we know that was a problem. why. What was in those emails, the classified information and the lack of security, and who set those emails up? That is one event. Uranium One, all right, emails, number one. And these are not in any particular order of importance. Number two, Uranium One, the selling off of America's, most of it, one of our most valuable mineral assets, uranium, to who? To the Russians. Uranium One. Mueller was involved. Hillary Clinton and, by extension, Bill Clinton, both involved in Uranium One, along with many other individuals, organizations, and the federal government at that time. Barack Hussein Obama, his role in Uranium One. Remember, and I'm going to toss this out again. Now, these are just a number of seemingly disparate issues. I'm going to tie it all up here. Uranium One. Remember when Obama was the junior senator of Illinois? Just I've talked about this many times before. He was a member of the Lugar Committee, the megatons to megawatts program to oversee the denuclearization of Russia. He traveled with Senator Lugar to Russia to oversee the denuclearization process. Barack Hussein Obama, Lugar, junior senator of Illinois. Out of place appointment, it would seem. Well, while over there, Barack Hussein Obama found himself in a pickle. He couldn't get out of the country. He couldn't get out of Russia. He was in Perm, and they were on their way back home. But they were stopped by Russian security agents saying, "Hey, Barack, hey, Barry, you got a problem with your passport." So what does that have to do with anything? Well, interesting selection of Barack Hussein Obama into the megatons to megawatts program by Lugar, by the whole committee. A side note, he was stopped in Russia because his passport, ostensibly there was a problem with it, with respect to his identity, but he was detained for 3 hours there at that airport. Now, this is going back long before he was, this is going back in the early 2000s, but he had a meeting there with Russian security officials, intelligence officials, for 3 hours. It almost caused an international incident. But it was nothing more than a footnote in the papers, New York Times and such. Why do I mention that? Because there's two issues there. Number one, his connection to the megatons to megawatts, and ultimately how that evolved into, ultimately how that had some ties to Uranium One, and I know they're tenuous, and you have to kind of squint to see them. But ultimately, Uranium One was also not. It was not just. It also involved Barack Hussein Obama. But the second part of that is, who in the hell was Barack Hussein Obama? Remember, the least vetted president of the United States ever. And having spoken to Joe Arpaio, Mike Zullo, yeah, there's a lot of problems with exactly who Barack Hussein Obama was. Well, why is that important in the grander scheme of things? Remember, the driving ideology of the deep state is to create this communist utopia and turn America into a communist utopia, basically, or communist. I should stop saying utopia because it's not that. Turn it into a communist country. Oh, I know it sounds hyperbolic, but it's not. So what better person than Barack Hussein Obama to be tapped as president of the United States and placed in there by the same intelligence community that's trying to get Donald Trump out, by John Brennan, who is Obama's national security advisor. I mean, think about the same. These are the same players. And think about Brennan's role in the passport office break-in, computer break-in. John Brennan owned a company, and that company, along with another company, accessed the passport files of McCain, Obama, and Clinton. Well, what happened? Was it for information? Partly for information. The other part to cauterize to cleanse certain information from Obama's passport, which goes to his identity. One of the biggest deep state members is Barack Hussein Obama, simply because we don't really know much about him. And you talk about You know, the left talks about illegitimate presidents, ascribing that to President Trump. Well, no, I would argue, on the other hand, it's Barack Hussein Obama, because we know virtually nothing about his past. Well, we do now, but we're gradually learning, of course, and verifying. So there's a couple of things there. Now, I just toss those out. There's more. There's many, many more events. But they all kind of culminate into this Spygate, into these allegations of Russian collusion, seemingly, or Donald Trump is accused of Russian collusion. By the way, collusion is not a crime except in antitrust laws, but it's not even an issue. But what they're saying is Donald Trump is a plant, is a puppet for Putin, and when it's just the opposite. And again, projection is one of those tactics, Alinsky tactics, and one of the deep state tactics is to project onto others what you are doing. So we're seeing today now, suddenly, it's being disclosed. And John Solomon had written a piece about this. Tracy Beans did a video about this yesterday. This is not new news, but it's news that needs to be reaffirmed here and to dissected a tad. Former FBI General Counsel James Baker, he said he testified before Congress in a last week. The setting was not classified, that Rod Rosenstein was dead serious about secretly recording President Trump and using those tapes the digital recordings to remove Donald Trump from office. Rosenstein says, nah, that was just a joke. But who is Baker? And does he really know? Well, if you read Solomon's article, Dan Bongino talked about this yesterday. Hannity spoke about this. Solomon, Sarah Carter, Tracy Beans. Everyone's talking about this now. Again, stuff that we've known and it's been percolating in the background but needs to be discussed. James Baker told Congress last week that Andrew McCabe, the former acting FBI director after Comey was axed, Baker told Congress last week that his boss, Andrew McCabe, was dead serious about the idea of surreptitiously recording the 45th president and using the evidence to make the case that Donald Trump should be removed from office. Now, wait a minute, I thought you said Rosenstein. Wait, McCabe as well. Baker told, during that testimony, Baker said that he wasn't in the meeting McCabe had with Rosenstein, in which the subject came up, but he did have firsthand conversations with Andrew McCabe and the lawyer assigned to McCabe. Who was that? Lisa Page. And as far as James Baker is concerned, that was a real plan. So just hold that thought for a second. What are we talking about? We are talking about a plot to overthrow the President of the United States. It cannot be any more simple or any more clear or any more direct than that. The plot to overthrow President Donald Trump. Don't accuse me of using hyperbole. That's what is being discussed in its most simple sense. And Baker said, look, Rosenstein was dead serious. Now, remember when, and this is an issue that Bongino was talking about. This took place when? It was around the time that Donald Trump fired James Comey. This is when these discussions occurred. So you have Comey being fired by Donald Trump, McCabe being the de facto head of the FBI, McCabe talking with Baker. Well, I shouldn't say talking with Baker. McCabe and Rosenstein were discussing wiretapping President Donald Trump or using a surreptitious wire. And Baker saying, no, these guys were serious. So what's the deal? James Baker right now, what's his motivation for talking? And this is something that Dan Bongino talked about in this program. The bottom line is this. Baker doesn't want to go to jail. McCabe, let me back up here. Either McCabe and Rosenstein are lying or James Baker is lying. Who has the bigger motivation to lie or to tell the truth? Either way you want to put it. And this is what Dan Bongino was talking about yesterday in his program yesterday. When you're dealing with criminal elements like this, you have to look at the motives and what drives the motives. Who's got the bigger motive, or who's got the who would be telling the truth? Because if one person says one thing and another person says another, well, somebody's lying or somebody's misremembering. In this case, would be lying. I would assert that James Baker has got the better motivation, or is more motivated to tell the truth because he wants to stay out of jail. That's a big motivator. Let me tell you, anyone who has ever been faced with a prospect of going to jail, if you've got a chance to stay out of jail, get out of jail free card, that's a big motivating factor. And this is what it was, or this is what it is. So James Baker's saying, hey, Rod, you're full of, you know what? You were serious about this and conspiring with Andrew McCabe, then head of the FBI after Comey, de facto head, interim head of the FBI, whose wife happens to be connected to Hillary Clinton. Why did I mention the Clinton emails before? What about the emails? The emails, the ones that were deleted, the 30,000 some that were deleted, the ones that reside on Huma Abedin and Wiener's computers that have yet to see the light of day, they show more than just one topic. It's not a one-trick pony set of topics here. It's they would expose a number of things, from the most perverse, yes, you heard me, to the most serious classified information, whether it's about Uranium One, whether it's about Benghazi, it doesn't matter. It would expose a lot, which is why she used a private server, because she could not afford to have that information residing on a government server. And of course, her server, and there could have been another secondary motive there or reason there to open up the information to foreign powers. Some say, well, she was careless and reckless, and foreign powers accessed her email. Well, wait a minute. No, not necessarily. Could it have been a deliberate move? No. Something to consider. But back to James Baker. And I would urge everyone to, if you got the time, listen to Dan Bongino, and certainly watch the video done by Tracy Beans. But the bottom line here is this. The Rosenstein tried to downplay everything. Again, his office suggested that he thought the discussions were a joke, that Rosenstein never gave an order to carry out such a plot, obviously, and he does not believe Trump should be removed from office. He's doing a hell of a lot of backtracking right now. But making those statements through a spokesperson, this according to Solomon, is a bit different than having Rosenstein himself face Congress and answer questions. Baker's account to Congress, to lawmakers this month, it complicates an already complicated picture for Rod Rosenstein, who, by the way, is going to be interviewed tomorrow, is scheduled to testify before Congress tomorrow. Now, think about this for a second. That interview was scheduled before the revelations came out. The revelations, and John Solomon, who, as Tracy Beans has talked about, Dan Bongino has stated, and Hannity knows. And just to be clear, I've had dialogue with some of the people here I mentioned. John Solomon knows what's going on. And if you watch the release of the information, if you watch his appearances on Hannity and how this information is being released, one would say, or one would be inclined to say, I believe, look, if you know what you know, release everything all at once. And I kind of favor that, except to say the timed release of information, sometimes it just makes more sense to release it strategically so it has an effect. So think about this. Rosenstein is scheduled to go before Congress tomorrow. yesterday or 2 days ago, Monday, Solomon comes out with this piece saying, hey, Baker, who testified before Congress, said that Rosenstein was dead serious in this plot. And Rosenstein conspired with then-acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, whose wife, Jill McCabe, closely tied to the Hillary camp. So what we have here, as pointed out by John Solomon, Baker's story lays bare an extraordinary conversation in which at least some senior FBI officials thought it was within their purview to try to capture the president on tape and then go to the president's own cabinet secretaries, hoping to persuade senior leaders of the administration to remove the president from power. It goes like this. They never thought he was going to win. Against all odds, he won. But during that during the time when he was a candidate, they did everything they could under the radar. They wiretapped him. They attempted to malign him. They mocked him. So, but he still became president. Now they're seeking to remove him by any means necessary. And while seeking to remove him, they're obstructing him. We see countless examples. My goodness. Project Veritas. James O'Keefe has recorded many examples of this. And of course, the left and Snopes and everyone else is going to say, well, no, that's taken out of context. Like hell it is. So they're still trying to remove him from office. And Mueller is a big part of this. Why? Mueller was FBI director a week before 9/11. He was nominated or appointed FBI director. Mueller, neck deep in Uranium One, neck deep in personal enrichment, as is Comey, as is all of these people. But it goes beyond the personal enrichment. Some people in the media will stop at that and say, well, the revolving door of politics, the self-enrichment, the connections to Booz Allen Hamilton and Lockheed Martin and such, it's all about the money. But it's more than that. It's about this ideological drive to change the United States. Remember what Obama said, fundamentally change the United States. And he wasn't talking about any one issue. He was talking about change it into a communist country. If he could, he would have. And that's what Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton was going to do. And within her emails, there's evidence of that plot as well. But with regard to John Solomon's piece, he says that I doubt that the power behind the 25th Amendment, I doubt that that's what Congress intended to be exercised when it created both the power of the FBI as well as the power of the 25th Amendment. When Congress created the FBI a century ago, or the circumstances in which the authors of the 25th Amendment imagined a president's removal could be engineered. So, I'm watching time here because I don't want to get cut off early here. Look, here's what this is all about. It's very, very simple. The protests that we have seen, that we're seeing right now. I'm going to try to wrap this up and tie up everything here. The protests that we're seeing, whether it's in Portland, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's Antifa, the street level protests, whether it's the busing in of these communist socialist morons from New York City to the 19th District of New York to create the optical illusion that, oh, everyone wants communism and socialism. They're just bit players in a larger play. All the world's a stage to them, and half of them, I don't even know if they really know what the hell's going on. So, but they're part of this. They're being managed. They're being handled by the members of the deep state. The members of the deep state are the members of Congress still, the Pelosis, and others. You know their names. They are the ones who are handling or issuing the orders for these protests. You heard Hillary Clinton yesterday come out and say civility won't have a place until after the midterms, meaning civility won't have a place until after the Democratic Socialists regain power. This is all about regaining power in order to create this communist environment here in the United States. If you're uncomfortable with the word communist, you can use the word collectivist. You can use the word globalist. They're all interchangeable, at least in my view. But this is the driving ideology here, and the players are, as I said, the elected members of Congress, the people that we have elected, and their elections are a consequence of the either acquiescence or, I guess more accurately put, would be the malaise of the conservatives, the conservative Christians, those conservative Christians who are not brainwashed into believing the socialist driving ideology behind everything, and where, by the way, the Christians, the churches, where they are really putting the socialist agenda into play here, specifically is through the refugee program and how they are all coming, the churches are all coming together and saying, hey, look, we need to open the borders and we need to, I mean, this is a humanitarian issue. They're brainwashing their flock on really what the goal is here. But that aside, look at the bigger picture. I urge you to look at the bigger picture. The reason I talk about politics, the reason I talk about the we're 27 days away from the midterms, is not just because of the power grab that the Democratic Socialists want and expect, but it's about our future. But it's also about the fact that between now and the elections, and even and especially subsequent to the elections, you are going to see the orders given, especially in the wake of a loss or a failure to regain power, you are going to see orders given, marching orders given to the very operatives, street-level operatives, to inflict the maximum amount of damage possible because they've got nothing left. The Democratic Socialists at that point have lost the executive branch. They've lost the Supreme Court, ostensibly. And they will have lost the legislative power for at least another 2 years. And frankly, a lot of them are getting old. A lot of them can see that they cannot afford to have the loss of power for another 2 years, because that could change the entire trajectory of the ideological drive that was put into motion, at least in earnest, by Barack Hussein Obama, but also put into motion by the globalist right, by the George W. Bushes and the George H.W. Bushes. Because when it comes to the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas, they're all one party. We often say this, and I know that a lot of this might seem pretty basic and pretty mundane, but you need, I really believe that we need to talk about this and to really have a good grasp and comprehension that this is indeed them versus us. When we talk about good versus evil, evil versus good, this is the earthly iteration of this. And it's not the Republicans and Democrats. We've seen that. It's good versus evil. It's not right versus left, it's right versus wrong. But the larger agenda here is to destabilize the administration of Donald Trump. This is what we saw with Rosenstein. This is what we saw and we're seeing with Rosenstein, and we're seeing with McCabe and Comey and Maxine Waters, in my view, and Pelosi and all the other members who are calling for this civil disobedience in the name of social justice. The destabilization is going to get much worse. the calls to destabilize our government much worse. And the players involved in this are going to be even more, things are going to get more severe. Rand Paul, his wife, talking about, yes, assassination plots. Can you believe in 2018, as we bring 2018 to a close, October 2018, we're talking about actual calls for assassinating Supreme Court justices and political figures, and yes, even those who influence opinion, such as talk show hosts, Limbaugh, Hannity, Levin, and others. This is where we're at today. Please take this seriously. Please share this program. Or if you don't like my program, share the program of Dan Bongino. He does a great job. Or Tracy Beans, or whoever is your favorite. Start telling people what the real goal here is. Please support those people who you believe in, who you believe are making a difference. This is our last chance. I really believe this is our last chance right now. This is our last chance. I mean, a really last chance. This is our last chance. But seriously, this is our last chance to continue to change the trajectory of our nation. Think back to the election day results of 2016, when it was confirmed that Donald Trump won the presidency. Van Jones called it a white lash. No, it was a whiplash. It was a whiplash of ideologies, from lawlessness to restoring order. And that, oh boy, is that painfully slow. But it's happening. But it's really the whiplash of ideologies. Taking this country from a path to complete socialism and communism to a path of, once again, correcting its course to put it on par with the vision of our founding fathers, who are so much maligned now. They're, you know, by the social justice warriors, the slave owners, the white patriarchal, well, you get the idea, right? This is what it's all about. Look at your grandchild, look at your child, and ask yourself, what kind of future, what can I do to make their life in this country better? Or if you're listening to this in another country, you've got the same issue, just different players and a different set of rules and laws, but it's the same concept. We are all in this together. So the things to watch out for this week, tomorrow, Rosenstein. By the way, again, just to reaffirm things, tonight we're going to have, we'll put something together for tonight. We're going to be covering the Donald Trump appearance here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And it's going to depend on what I can bring you, what we can bring you collectively from this. Hopefully we can get some really good things, but again, so just know that we're going to be out tonight. So we'll put something together for our show tonight, the Hagmann Report. Please, HagmannReportLive.com, HagmannReportLive.com. If you haven't checked it out already, check it out, HagmannReportLive.com. That's where to get this program. That's where to get our flagship show, HagmannReportLive.com. And by the way, the store, oh my goodness, check out the store. We got some T-shirts there. It's a start. It's the start. Eric the Tech worked really hard. Folks, never before in our history, at least in my lifetime, has this been so more important time. Understand what's going on. The coup against the President of the United States and the coup against us. God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for tuning in. Until tomorrow.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.